It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Let's see how the Sharks handle that. Rantanen losing on the check to Bordeleau, but he recovers. Goes back to center ice, slips through the check of Couture and Bordeleau.
Got to get a body there, Dan. That's
game,
why.
Gain the zone, drop pass in front, tip, score! That's Rantanen again, scoring the hat trick. McKinnon's got another point, and it's 4-1, and hats are actually flying on the ice here at the Shark Tank.
Out of here. Carlson, nice move against Newhook. This is the first time this week that the Sharks have looked outclassed. Here's a goal by Stephen Lawrence. What a play by Erik Karlsson to create it, and it's 4-2.
Well, listen, they're the defending Stanley Cup champions, and they're just better than we are. And at the end of the day, talent caught up to us over a two-game series. That's all that happened, really. And we were ready to play. We played hard, and it just got away from us in that stretch there. But usually that's what happens when talent usually wins out over time, and that's just what happened. No, there's really no other way to say it.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. Like you said, I thought we had a great start to the game. You know, we were just kind of going blow for blow at the beginning, and we felt good about that first period. And going into the second, we just kind of had that couple-minute lapse where they just put it, I think it was two or three, in the span of like 3 or 4 minutes. So that's the stuff that, you know, can't really happen. And, you know, if you're trying to win hockey games and be a successful team, you can't have lapses like that, or at least you got to limit it. And, you know, unfortunately, that kind of, I don't want to say sealed the deal, but that took the wind right out of our sails, and you know, we couldn't really recover from that. So it was too bad, but it's obviously something to learn from, and we'll address that tomorrow in video and be better.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome. With one home date left, the only thing left to see is whether or not Erik Karlsson can get to 100 points in front of home fans on Saturday afternoon. In the last two games, playing against a team that has as much top-end talent as anyone in the NHL, Karlsson routinely made a case for being the most talented player on the ice, with out-of-this-world skating, handling, and passing. And now he's got one more home game to see if he can send fans home happy after witnessing some 100-point history. And that is part of what I find so interesting about all of this, because let's be honest, Erik Karlsson has been a polarizing figure for Sharks fans. Obviously, the huge contract that some perceived, correctly or not, as the reason why Joe Pavelski didn't stay with the San Jose Sharks. That's not true, but it is what people believe. If you want to get down to the nitty-gritty of it, the Sharks had penned Evander Kane to be the replacement for the aging Pavelski. It just didn't work out that way. Getting Erik Karlsson, a talented all-world future Hall of Famer on the Sharks, should never have been viewed in a negative. Unfortunately, some fans just didn't like it, A, and B, injuries were a big part of his arc up to this point. And I've said this time and time again. The first year, 2018-2019, again, injuries played a part, but during the playoffs, he was the leading point scorer. The next year, in the 2019-2020 shortened season, in which the Sharks definitely had a big drop-off in the offseason in terms of some of the talent that they had on the squad, Erik Karlsson, until he got hurt, was the Sharks' leading point scorer. You look at the 56-game abbreviated schedule, I don't make any excuses for Karlsson that year. He simply was not up to the level that we expect from his superstar self. Last year, when he was healthy, he was a very, very good player, and there were signs that he was getting towards the level that we have seen this year. I never thought Erik Karlsson would be able to get to where he is right now, but when I watch what we're seeing out there on the ice, I do see a lot of things that can be replicated a year from now because, okay, whether or not he gets to 100 points again or 90 or 80 points next year, I'm not looking at that as the standard. What I am looking for from Erik Karlsson is whether or not he can get in that high 60, low 70 points again And I do think that is very much repeatable because the goal scoring, you know, whether or not he has, you know, more than 15 goals next year, that's going to be tough because he has had, you know, his shot percentage is higher than it's ever been in his career. But when I watch his vision, when I watch his stick handling and the way he moves the puck and the way he sets up guys, the way he is creating opportunities. I mean, look no further at that play that he set up Lawrence for the goal. That was some absolutely brilliant hockey, and it wasn't done with speed. It was done with vision and handling and timing. And to me, those are things that can be replicated. Whether or not he gets as many goals next year, whether or not he gets as many five-on-five assists, those have been the aberration this year. Those have been higher. But in terms of what he has the ability to do in terms of chance creation, that to me is where you have to look at it and say, like, okay, there is something that can be replicated here. There is something that can be built upon for Erik Karlsson from 1 year to the next. I don't expect him to go for 100 points next year or in the realm. That's not, I mean, listen, if he does, I'm certainly going to be happy, but that's not something that I'm honestly, you know, trying to say, oh, I'm going to bet money on that. What I am going to look at and say is possible for him to replicate is his ability to create, his ability to draw defensive attention, his ability to do just silly things with the puck, because his ability to handle right now and make defenders look stupid is getting better the later that we've gotten into the season. He is in very, very good shape. He is doing everything right. And I hope ultimately that he has been able to do something in terms of his training that will allow him to stay healthy again. Because as silly as it sounds, the most important thing for any superstar to do is be out there on the ice. Look or don't look at Cale Makar, the man who was the, you know, next generation superstar defenseman for the Colorado Avalanche. This year, being out on the ice has been an issue for him. And that's not to be, you know, I'm not poking the bear or anything in that sense, but it's like, you got to be out there to have the points. And Erik Karlsson, you know, having been injured so many times, that's kept him from being able to get the points and the consistency and the full top end of his ability. Guess what? This year he's been healthy. He's been able to be out there on the ice. He's been able to rack up the points. And now he is 2 points shy of 100 as the Sharks head into their final home game of the season. And I do look at that idea for him to be able to give the fans the ability to see a defenseman score 100 points in a season. It would be truly something special. I really, really do look at what he's been able to do as of late. I look at what he's been able to, you know, just accomplish this year. It is something special. And I know that that's been hard for a lot of people to accept because they've never liked Erik Karlsson for whatever reason. And I can't understand, mostly because they don't understand the circumstances in which he came and how the plan was already in place for Pavelski to leave. But this is a guy who in the midst of a terrible year has done everything to try and give the Sharks a chance. And some people will say, okay, well, he turns the puck over. Well, yeah, he's a high-risk player. He is trying to make things happen. And especially in a game like last night where he had a couple of passes picked off, yeah, you're down. You give up four straight goals to Colorado. You're trying to do anything to get back into that game. And that is something that I think people need to understand. It's like Erik Karlsson is going to take some risk moves, risk opportunities. He's going to play risk and see if he can turn anything or nothing into something, because that's how you have comebacks happen. You have to take risks. You're down. You can't play a conservative style. You can't just hope that the narrative changes. You've got to do something to go out there and change that narrative. And Erik Karlsson scoring the first goal of the night, giving the Sharks a 1-0 lead, only to see the Avalanche come roaring back and wrest control of that game free from San Jose. I mean, you go from a 1-0 lead off the goal from Karlsson to surrendering four straight. You got to figure out a way to get your team back into the game. You got to do something. You got to try something, because that team in Colorado, once they get up, they're not gonna give it up, right? Like, you got to do something particularly special to get back into that game. And Karlsson did do something particularly special to set up Lawrence on his goal to make it a 4-2 game. And you have to try. You have to do things. You have to be the creative playmaker that Erik Karlsson can be, which includes a high amount of risk at times. And I don't take umbrage with that. It doesn't bother me. It's not something that I particularly have an issue with. I think that when you look at Erik Karlsson, you have to take the good with the bad. You have to take that risk. And I have no issue with that in the slightest. And I know that there are some people who are going to say that, oh, well, he's not good enough defensively. And it's like, well, you know, what specifically are you asking for? Because if you look at some of his metrics in terms of breakaways, in terms of, you know, passes broken up. You know, he's not exactly the problem specifically. You know, he's actually pretty good if you look at some of the metrics. I know that he is not the, you know, man defender that you're going to look at when you saw a peak Vlasic or something like that, but Erik Karlsson's overall game is one of the most spectacular and special guys we've ever seen in the NHL. And if you at this point still take umbrage with his game, you either don't understand his role in the modern game or you're just being a hater. And don't get me wrong, that's your right. You want to like or dislike anybody, you go right ahead. But at the same time, you got to give Erik Karlsson his due. Erik Karlsson is not the problem with the San Jose Sharks. David Quinn, at the end of last night's game, said they are a more talented team than us. Talent won out. That is the problem with the San Jose Sharks. They do not have enough talent. They have some good players. They have some rising players. They have Erik Karlsson. They have Logan Couture. They have Tomas Hertl. Those are three very, very talented players, no doubt about it. But you look up and down the roster in terms of established talent versus what Colorado is bringing out to the ice, versus what Edmonton is going to bring to the ice on Saturday, versus what you're going to see in the final three games of the season. You will see the Sharks at a talent deficit. And in the NHL, as much as we want to talk about tactics, as much as we want to talk about chemistry, as much as we want to talk about intangibles, usually, not always, but usually, talent overall is going to win out. It's why a player like, you know, Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar and Mikko Rantanen were all part of winning that Stanley Cup for Colorado last year. You know, Nazem Kadri, again, he's not there anymore, but he was on that team as well. High caliber player. And we can, you know, we don't need to go over every aspect of the Avalanche roster, but you saw that talent. It wasn't exactly hiding. And when you have that type of talent, when you have that many good guys, you are going to find chemistry that much more easy to develop. And when you have that much more talent, you are going to find it that much more easy for a head coach to implement their system. Now, I'm not saying that chemistry and coaching systems and these other things aren't important, because they most definitely are. However, I do think that when you have that talent, it makes it that much more easy to implement. Ask Todd McClellan when he took over the San Jose Sharks. Ask Pete DeBoer, right? Like, these guys came into high, high functioning systems, high caliber talent all over the place. That makes your job as a coach that much easier. Not to say that it isn't insanely difficult. It is. I'm just saying it makes their job that much easier, and it makes chemistry that much easier to foster, which is one of the main reasons why we should be looking at Erik Karlsson's incredible season and looking at it and saying, like, God, he's not exactly surrounded by the talent that we saw here in San Jose for a long time. Yes, Timo Meier was most definitely a part of the team this year. That definitely helped Erik Karlsson's number. But, you know, you look at Tomas Hertl, who's had a down year for him in terms of goal scoring. You know, he's not setting up Joe Pavelski. He's setting up Steven Lawrence. And that's not a knock on Lawrence. I'm just saying, like, this is the reality of what Erik Karlsson's been able to do. He has put a team that otherwise has not been able to win a whole lot of games. He has created opportunities and put pucks in the back of the net, working with talent that is less than compared to the opposition in most games. That is something that is so remarkable, especially when we look at some of the top performers ever on this list of all-time, you know, seasons for a defenseman, of which Erik Karlsson is entering the conversation. And Erik Karlsson is doing this on a very bad team. It is aberrant that his performance is happening on a team like the Sharks. It is a stark aberration compared to what we see. Now, does that not mean that the Sharks are devoid of talent? Of course not. They've got talented players. It's just when you make the comparison, when you look at what exactly this Sharks team is capable of doing versus some of the other top-end teams that we talk about, with these players that are having special seasons or defensemen that have had special seasons in the past, this is not the norm, and maybe makes Erik Karlsson's season that much more impressive, because what he is doing out there on the ice, the way he is looking defenders look foolish, the opportunities that he is creating, it is special in and of itself. And then you start to extrapolate and look at the outside factors, the Sharks not being good, the Sharks having only won 8 home games this year, the Sharks being in a downturn in their franchise history, and Erik Karlsson is still doing just spectacular, jaw-dropping, amazing things. It's pretty spectacular, and it probably should be talked about more. Unfortunately, there's just not a whole lot else that makes you feel good about the Sharks right now, because they don't have as much talent. They don't have the wins. They don't have the home wins in particular. And the conversation all year long beyond Erik Karlsson, especially since Timo Meier was traded, is whether or not the Sharks are going to be able to get one of the top picks in this year's draft, or particularly the top pick, and get a Bedard. And listen, that's not a fun conversation to have. You never want to talk about the desire and need for a 17-year-old to come and help you be a more highly functioning team on the ice. Now, I know that he will be a year older and that he'll be able to develop probably at a very, very quick pace for whatever team that Connor Bedard goes to, but it's just not a fun conversation. It's not one that I enjoy having. It's not one that I look at and say, oh yeah, let's definitely talk about how much fun it'll be to try and get a top draft pick. Like, no, that's not indicative of things being fun out there on a game-to-game basis. And yes, I know, you get a talented player, it changes things for the next generation. There's all sorts of things that we can look at in that capacity, but we're looking at a year in which the Sharks will fail to win double-digit home games. Sheng Peng tweeted out last night, after tonight's home loss and with just one SAP center date left, the San Jose Sharks, with 8 home wins this season, will become the first team in the shootout era to fail to get to double-digit home wins in a full 82-game season. I mean, do you realize how wild that is? For the last 30 years, it feels like there has been no more difficult place to play as a visitor in the NHL than SAP Center. And I guess as just like it feels like we're getting a generation's worth of rain in one winter, we are getting a generation's worth of home losses in one season for the San Jose Sharks. All right, we are going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction. You're on Morning Tide.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Nastiness.
There's a chance for the Sharks. Kevin LeBanc and Karlsson scores on the rebound. That's 97.
Everyone knows what's at stake for Erik, and it's so cool to be a part of because, you know, we see him, you know, not just on the ice where everyone just watches him and he dazzles everybody, but off the ice, he's just such a laid-back guy, and he's a great leader, and, you know, you kick a soccer ball around with him, and he's just, you know, regular old Erik, and he's just a goofy guy to be around, but, you know, it's definitely something with, you know, I think everybody in the league, not just the Sharks, but and our team, it's, you know, guys are kind of rooting for him to hit that because it's very special what he's doing, so it would definitely be nice to do it at home, but, you know, we're obviously focused on the win, but if he can get those 2 points, that's obviously going to help us win the game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've all talked about what a special year he's had, and, you know, it would be pretty cool to have it done here at home.
Welcome back, everyone, on Morning Tide as we come back in with Erik Karlsson scoring another goal last night, his 97th point. He had another on the assist to the goal from Lawrence. He's got 98 points on the year. He is doing special, special things night in, night out. It's absolutely amazing to watch. And, you know, just I go back to that play in which he set up Lawrence.
Out of here. Karlsson, nice move against Newhook. This is the first time this week that the Sharks have looked outclassed. Here's a goal by Steven Lawrence. What a play by Erik Karlsson to create it. And it's 4-2.
I mean, that was just a special elite creator's play that's something probably only Erik Karlsson and a handful of others in this league can do. Here's Lawrence.
I mean, it's obviously it's world class. Every time it's at the point where it's just like in the O zone, when I go out there for a face off with him, I just tell the wingers just let Erik do his thing. And obviously he made a great play down the wall, started with a face off, and I kind of won it to the boards. But I think he did a good job battling to get it back to him. And he obviously did his thing, made a few dipsy doodles, and I just kind of beat my guy off the wall. And a lot of guys would have shot that puck, and I would have been waiting for the rebound. But he put that thing right on my tape, and you know, I'm not going to miss from there.
No, Lawrence is not going to miss right there. And if he had, everyone would have been just gobsmacked because those plays, when you see that type of creative opportunity, it's like you got to finish. It feels like when you see somebody do that much special work with the puck to create space and allow Stephen Lawrence to be able to get the break towards the net. I mean, that's the special stuff. And that's what I hope to see more and more of Erik Karlsson in the future, whether or not that he can get the breaks on these goals and have, you know, this many five-on-five points and assists overall. Like, listen, that changes the dynamic, obviously, and then it's a career year in that capacity. But the other things that he's doing to create, I mean, these are things that I do believe can be replicated and can allow for more and more points, especially if the Sharks do have more and more talent on the roster next year, assuming Karlsson is still around. So, yeah, I mean, on Saturday, Erik Karlsson is going to be doing everything he can to give those fans that 100th point at SAP Center for on the year. I mean, that would be a truly special thing to see, and I hope that we do get to see that. And I also hope that we get to see more and more from Stephen Lawrence, because he has been just getting better and better. He's been getting rewarded statistically, and I like the player that he is developing into.
Yeah, you know, it's coming with confidence in my game and confidence from the coaching staff believing in me and putting me out there in some situations that, you know, maybe I wasn't getting at the start of the year. And it obviously took a little bit to adjust to the systems. And, you know, coming from a team like I did last season, it was a little bit more aggressive and man-on-man. It's a little bit more zone this year and just figuring that out. And, you know, it was a little bit of a learning curve for me, but, you know, it's paying off. And, you know, I love the systems. And when you really you buy into the systems, you play an honest game, you know, it works. So, definitely, I'm happy. I'm playing with, you know, probably the most confidence I've ever played with in my career so far. And, you know, I just hope to keep that going.
He is an honest game guy, and that is something that we heard referenced by head coach David Quinn after the game.
Well, I don't know much about him, but, you know, I think he's gotten better and better throughout the season. I think he's really understanding what he's going to need to do to be an everyday player in this league. And I think his last 3 weeks have been the best hockey he's played all year long. I think he's really dialed into what he needs to do, and he looks confident, comfortable with accepting what he is, and he's productive offensively. He and I have had plenty of conversations about he can produce offensively, but in a different way, and he's doing it. He's playing fast. He's got an edge to him. He's been more physical than ever over the last 3 weeks and playing a straight-line game and, you know, playing good hockey.
And this is what I think we look for in terms of the quote-unquote momentum conversation that we hear referenced so often around professional sports. Like, I don't think that a win streak for the Sharks at the end of the year is going to help them in October. I would love to be able to say that it could, but I just don't think that's how it works. What I do believe in, however, is players understanding their role within a system and having a greater understanding of their teammates' games. And when you had a year like this for the San Jose Sharks, where there were new players coming in, where you had a new head coach with a new system, there was a lot that needed to be learned. There was a lot that needed to be understood and chemistry to be built and understanding of other players' games. Yet another reason why Karlsson's season should be that much more impressive to you. But that's a lot of what this comes down to. Like, you have to understand what your teammates are doing, where they're going to be, how they're going to read your game, and then you can carry that over from one season to the next. That's why the San Jose Sharks were such a high-functioning team. I go no further than the shortened season of 2012-2013, where they didn't start till 2013, and what the Sharks opened up that season like 12-1 or something. I forget off the top of my head, but you had a lot of the same faces, you had a lot of the same players, you had a lot of the same guys coming in, all understanding what their roles were. They knew exactly what they had to do. They hit the ground running, and they were, you know, having a standard Sharks year. They didn't have to learn each other's games. Yes, there were new faces, no doubt about that, but like, they already came in with a very high-level understanding of where each other would be on the ice, what they were going to do in terms of reactions, where they were going to be. That is the type of momentum that the Sharks can hope to take from this year into next year. Not winning and or losing per se, but I do think that you can take some of that understanding of your teammates' game and apply it from one season to the next, and that's what I would hope to see, and I'm sure that's exactly what, you know, a Mike Greer and a David Quinn are hoping to see as well, that these players they brought in when they get back out there on the ice in the fall in the training camp, especially for an injured guy like a Luke Cunnan, or especially for players that, you know, have been developing like a William Eklund or a Thomas Bortolo, that they'll have that much greater of an understanding of their roles. And players will understand each other and they'll be able to be that much better when the next season comes along. As for last night, talent won out. The San Jose Sharks were able to hang around on the sample size of Tuesday night's game. And I know that's an overused saying in sports, but it's like, okay, within that game, the Sharks were able to keep it a contest. When it was extrapolated to a second consecutive game with that much talent disparity, yeah, talent overwhelmed the Sharks because that's what Colorado does. The only guy who wasn't getting overwhelmed, it seemed, was Erik Karlsson. And even though the Sharks did put up a good fight last night and a good start, you know, once Colorado got the ball rolling, things changed pretty quickly. Here is Lawrence on the biggest difference in last night versus Tuesday night.
I mean, again, in the first period, we battled. Like I said, we went blow for blow, and that's kind of what we did on Tuesday night. And like I said, we kind of had that confidence, and I think a lot of teams counted us out and probably didn't expect Tuesday's result to be as close as it was. And, you know, we have that capability. We have that potential to play like that night in and night out, but that's the key is consistency. And to be able to do that on a regular basis for 82 games a season, that's not easy to do, and that's why the best teams are the best teams, because they find ways to do that. So, again, it was kind of a lapse, that couple-minute stretch there. And, you know, again, if you want to be a playoff team, if you want to be a contender, that stuff that can't happen.
The thing is that Colorado is so talented that they can make it happen. And I'm not trying to excuse the Sharks, and I'm not trying to, you know, take away from what Lawrence is alluding to. Like, yeah, it can't happen. You can't give up four straight goals at home and hope to have good results. I'm not denying any of that, but like, Colorado is a team that does that to teams. Like, they are so talented and they can execute and they can just come at you with such a flurry. Like, it was a little bit disturbing last night how quickly it went from a 1-0 Sharks lead to a 4-1 Sharks deficit. It was something to watch. And Colorado, when they do that, it reminded me of some of the high-caliber Sharks teams we'd seen in the past, where all of a sudden it was Pavelski, Hurdle, Couture, Jumbo, Patty, Burns, all contributing so very, very quickly and turning a game on its head. That's exactly what Colorado has the ability to do. Lawrence chimed in on what was said in the dressing room after the second period.
You know, you can't change what's already happened, right? So obviously it was disappointing, and we weren't happy with how that played out, but you know, there's only one way to go, and we can sit there and dwell on it, or we could finish the game strong. And, you know, that's what we tried to do. Obviously, we gave up a few more in the third, but yeah, again, you just got to limit that stuff, right? So the best way to not have that happen is just not let it happen. So we got to stay on for 60 minutes and play like we did in the first period, and keep that consistency, like I said.
And that has got to be one of the main goals for the Sharks heading into next season, beyond just outright getting more wins. But it's like, what has been a continual problem for the Sharks this year? It's like having extended stretches where they've been not good enough. And really, it's been, you know, micro stretches where they have been, you know, able to be very good throughout a game and then watch it turn on its head over a period of, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes. But really, it has to be about playing 60 minutes of complete hockey or closer to that. If you do that, you will not get as many of those micro moments where games turn on their head in the course of 5 minutes. And that is obviously dependent on talent. And I'm not, you know, trying to say that the Sharks aren't without talent right now compared to some of these other top tier teams in the NHL. But you've got to be honest about what the Sharks are right now and what your level of expectation can be. We've seen that throughout the entirety of the season of what the Sharks are and what the Sharks aren't. Now, next year is an entirely different situation. So you can have hope and you can have expectation when you get into the start of next year once again, that these players will be able to perform at that much higher of a level and that much more of a complete style game, and hope that there is more talent out there on the ice. And listen, I, you know, go back to the Tuesday night game of taking the defending Stanley Cup champion to overtime. And, you know, there's no more Nick Bonino here. There's no more Matt Nieto here. There's no more Timo Meier here, right? Like, you go down the list of some of the talented players that were on the ice earlier in the year for the Sharks versus who's out there right now. Luke Cunningham's been down with an ACL for a long time now. Like, the Sharks simply are not as talented as they were. It was difficult from the start, and it's gotten that much more difficult throughout the remainder of the season. And, you know, you hope that on Saturday the Sharks are able to give you one more high-caliber performance, one more game to give you to go home happy with, maybe get that final home win of the year. And I know that some of you are thinking, no, lose. But I know that we all want to see Erik Karlsson get to 100 points in front of the fans at SAP Center. If there's a win involved as well, I know that I will be happy. And I also admit that it's going to be sad that we are going to be months away from Sharks hockey once again. I don't like the offseason. I don't like not being a part of the playoffs. And hopefully this will be an era in Sharks hockey that we'll be able to look beyond and look past, again, sooner rather than later. We are all out of time. I will see you on Saturday morning on the build-up as we get ready for the Sharks and Edmonton. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
Boy, McKinnon flies to center, grabs it, feeds Rantanen, moves down the right, shoots, great glove save by Kaapo Kähkönen. Another bid for goal number 50, denied by the Sharks' Finnish netminder against his fellow Finn, Mikko Rantanen.